Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
And today we're talking about young adult. Young adult. It sounded like I felt like I had said adult movies for some reason. But no, we're not talking about adult movies. We're talking about young adult novels that were adapted into movies or films. We're going to be talking about 5 good ones and 5 bad ones. Well, I won't put a number on it. We're going to be talking about the good and the bad. Because there are some really good ones and there are some really, really bad ones. They're mostly bad, right? Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we get started, is there anything, any movie you want to talk about that you saw this weekend or on streaming? Anything? Anything you want to confess you watched? I'll talk about one thing if you want to give it a think.
Okay.
I was playing Netflix Roulette. Have you ever played that?
Nope.
Which is you just hit right or left on your remote, and then down. You have to close your eyes though, and then wherever it stops, that's what you have to watch. At least give it a chance. That way you discover new things sometimes. And I usually end up shutting it off after 5 minutes, but this time I discovered a gem. I saw a movie on Sunday. I was watching the kid. And I played Netflix Roulette, and I got to a movie called The Young Keselowski. It's streaming on Netflix. It is Kareem Sanja's first like feature, and he has another movie that just came out at Sundance. I looked him up right away after I saw the movie, but there's not a lot of famous people that you would know in the movie. In fact, there's only like one guy. He's a sports night dude. The old Aaron Sorkin show. Joshua Molina comes out in it. And then there's a kid. You maybe know him, Jenny. He used to come out in a bunch of Disney shows when he was a kid. Now he's grown up. Do you recognize that guy at all?
No, not really. No.
His name is Ryan Mulgerini. And he's in like Freaky Friday. He plays a younger brother in Freaky Friday. That's where I know him from. Yeah.
Okay.
And
he grew up a little bit.
Yeah, he grew up. Now he's like college age, but it was a really good gem. I really enjoyed it. The movie's about this. It's like I hate to use the word more mature. It's like a mature Knocked Up version of Knocked Up. You know, it's about a dude who's in college. He's a virgin. And he sleeps with this girl, and she gets pregnant, and it's how they both deal with it and stuff. And they're both in college, by the way. And you see like his parents how they deal with it, and her parents how they deal with it. And I mean, they are adults because they're in college; they're like over 18. But it's how they deal with it, you know, having an unexpected pregnancy and stuff. And it was really good. It was really funny. It had a really good message. And I really enjoyed it. So if you get a chance, The Young Keselowski. It's streaming on Netflix. Check it out. And Jenny, what do you got?
I just watched the movie Don Verdeen.
Was that the Nacho Libre? Nacho Libre writer, director?
Oh, I don't know. Hess?
Jared Hess. Yes. They did Nacho Libre. They did Napoleon Dynamite. They did.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Does that got that kind of vibe?
It does. It wasn't as funny as I wanted it to be, but it did have that vibe. Maybe if I'd gone into it thinking it was going to be more awkward funny than funny. Because it's not like humor. It's like awkward humor,
that's what he loves, right? Yeah. Like that's his.
But I like Napoleon Dynamite. Yeah, I haven't seen Nacho Libre, but
it's an acquired taste.
It is.
Yeah, like it's funny because when I first saw Nacho Libre, the first time I saw it, this was before all the hype, before everyone was watching it, I enjoyed it because I was like, oh, this is something I've never seen. This is pretty interesting. And then everybody started, and then that kind of, I don't know, it tainted the movie for me.
I feel like I didn't like. I think this was on one of my movies. The second watch list was Napoleon Dynamite. I don't think I liked it at first, and I think I got to like it more. And so maybe if I gave this one another chance, like in a year, then I might like it because it's got such a good cast. It's got so many good people in it.
Sam Rockwell, Amy Ryan. Sam Rockwell,
Jemaine Clement, Danny McBride, Will Forte, Leslie Bibb. They're all, it's a great cast. They're all really, really great comedians.
And that's what happened to me with Nacho Libre.
So interesting. It was such a weird movie.
I saw Nacho Libre like you did for Napoleon, where I saw it. And I'm like, this is not the movie for me. I do not find it funny at all. And then I rewatched it like while I was playing on TV. I'm just watching in the background. And I kept laughing at things. And I'm like, oh, man, why didn't I laugh the first time? And then I realized, like, and this is the thing we should talk about, too. Do you feel this way that sometimes you have to watch the movie with the right crowd? Like, you can't really watch things at home sometimes when it's, like, a specific type of comedy.
Because you're like, with somebody that's gonna make you
or, like, a crowd.
Too.
Or, like, if you saw this movie maybe at the Lemley 7, you would have enjoyed it a little more. Maybe it would have been, like, the right crowd and stuff. But what's the broad stroke kind of synopsis of the movie?
So Dom Verdeen is like a, he's like a religious, archaeologist, I guess. And so he goes through and tries to find, religious pieces all over the world and then comes back and brings them to America and is like, I'm here to represent God and Jesus and, you know, listen to what I'm saying because I found these pieces, but really it's all just things that he's placed there so that he makes, so that he looks like he finds them. You find that out early on, so I'm not spoiling anything. But he's just kind of like a schmuck the entire time.
Okay.
A lie. I can't think of the word. Like a lying...
A charlatan?
I don't know what that is.
So did you like it?
I think I gave it 3 stars.
Out of 5. Okay, so you're leaning more towards you liked it than you didn't.
Yeah, because it is a great cast, and they are very funny people. I think I would like it more later. I think I need to see it again.
Did you see a movie called Gentlemen Broncos?
It's been so long since I've seen that movie, but I think that's in the same...
It's a movie that he did before this, and it's the same...
Oh, he did that one too, Jared Hess?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So now you see like
his... Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
That's just... It's really awkward humor that... It's a very... It's not even awkward. It's just a very specific kind of humor.
Yeah.
It's not even dry. It's just... I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not 80s humor.
I need to see Gentlemen Broncos. Because I love Jemaine Clement so much. Yeah. He's so funny.
He's in that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's on Netflix, right? It's streaming on
Netflix.
Yes. Yeah. So
I also just watched Finding Vivian Mayer finally.
Oh, the documentary on the photographer.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like it?
It was good. I really liked it a lot. It took a weird turn near the end.
Really?
I don't think it needed to go that direction. The documentary. Like, I don't think we needed to talk about her like
in that vein.
In that part.
Oh, okay.
But near the end, I guess I shouldn't spoil anything. I don't know if it is a spoiler. It's a documentary, but but the part about her being so like standoffish and like quiet and like didn't want people to know that she took photos kind of thing and the camera that she used and how like secretive the kind of camera it is, you know, like you hold it down near your like waist and that, and you like look into it that way.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff is like really interesting. That and how she like didn't want anyone to know she took all these pictures, and she saved like so many boxes. Every single time she took a nanny gig, she brought all these boxes with her. Every single person was telling was saying like she had a whole room full of boxes, and they were just negatives.
Wow.
Like all of her negatives pretty much, and newspapers because she was kind of a hoarder, but newspapers and negatives. It was the weirdest thing, but it's really interesting. Her eye for compositions is just amazing.
It's funny because I had seen the preview to this a long time ago, and then the preview for this movie made me like look her photography up, and I was like, oh wow, it's really cool. And then it was your birthday was kind of coming up, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna get Jenny this book on this photographer that she has no idea who the fuck it is. And like now it's coming back for full circle.
Yeah.
So did you now go back to the photography book and you kind of appreciate it a little differently because of
Because I had gone through the photography book before and I was like, well, this is cool photography, but I didn't like
You don't know her story.
Anything up about her. I went back through it after I saw the movie.
That's funny.
They showed a lot of the pictures in the book that in the movie as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, they showed that picture. But it's really interesting.
And that's streaming as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Netflix?
Yeah. I kind of want to like see if I can buy that type of camera somehow and just like play around with it.
It's the little boxy ones that you look down into, right?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it now, but
it's a Bolex maybe, I think.
It's something X, yeah. But it's really interesting. It gives you a really cool perspective of people because it's almost like they're like towering over you the way that the pictures are because she's taking them down at her waist. Yeah. So when you think about where the shutter is, people are towering over the actual camera. So it's really interesting. So they look like they have more power than, you know, so it's kind of an interesting.
Because it's such a low angle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I like it a lot.
I got to check out this movie now. It wasn't that long.
It's pretty short. Yeah.
And it's one of those ones that watch the trailer. It's really interesting. Like that's what instantly like. I literally went from watching the trailer to looking up her photography to being like, oh, I think maybe Jenny will like this photography.
It's funny because all of her different nannying gig people are the people that he interviewed pretty much. Mm-hmm. The people that knew her the best, I guess. And everyone had a different opinion, like different like take on her because no one really knew her very well. So everyone was like, well, she seemed like this. And someone was like, I think her accent was fake. No, her accent was real. And like all these people are like making assumptions. So it was kind of interesting. And he put it all together so that you could see like nobody really knew her.
Yeah. And she never married or anything, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think that's really about it. I saw 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I haven't really gone on the internet to see what the reviews are. I haven't, but I enjoyed it. I like what they're doing with these. They set off to do this like Twilight Zone type thing and I'm digging, I love it.
Yeah.
I think J.J. Abrams is going to start producing movies like this.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
Where they're like kind of like low budget movies, but they're all kind of a version of a Twilight Zone structure, which I love. So.
Yeah.
And I liked everybody in it. Everybody in it was good. All the acting was great. And
There's only like three people in it, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And they're all good. And they're all good actors. So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to see it this weekend.
Yeah, it was good. No spoilers. And then, did I see anything else? I rewatched The Hateful Eight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I loved it when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really loved it the second time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Without the intermission and stuff like that.
I think I would like it more if it was,
It was all when sitting. It didn't. I love the show. I love the whole spectacle of it. I love the road show. But there's something about just watching it all the way through and not having that intermission and just really enjoying it that I'm going to go ahead and say that it's my second favorite Tarantino movie, only second to Jackie Brown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think, like, he's at his peak. And I don't mind that he's going to retire. I like that he's going to do a couple more and then done.
Oh, really? I didn't know he was going to retire.
Yeah, he said he's going to do 10. So we'll see. We'll see. That's what Steven Soderbergh said. And now he's directing a movie this year. So. All right. So any other movie you want to talk about that you really enjoyed or hated?
I don't think so.
There's a bunch of cool stuff on Netflix. We'll do a Netflix episode next week, maybe. We got some recommendations. You already have some now. We have the Young Kieslowski and Finding Vivian Mayer. Which are streaming on Netflix. So check them out. All right, we'll get onto the list. Today, we're talking about young adult novels that were adapted into movies. Let's talk about a really bad one, and then we'll cleanse our palate with a good one. Did you see any of the Twilight movies?
I saw the first one.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, and I have only seen that one.
I've caught like when they're on HBO or Showtime,
yeah,
and I'm channel surfing, I'll catch like the sequels and I cannot watch more than 5 minutes of it. In fact, the first one took me like 3-4 sittings to watch all the way through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was difficult to sit through.
I read all the books.
Twilight books?
Yeah, all of them.
Really?
And so I was really excited about this movie when it came out. We went to see it opening night. It was my birthday. I turned 21.
What do you want to do? I want to go see Twilight.
On my 21st birthday, we went to go see Twilight at midnight.
Did you at least go drunk?
I had, yeah, a drink or two or something like that at dinner.
That made it tolerable a bit. So,
well, I guess.
Somewhat. So the books, first of all. You enjoy the books because you read all of them.
Yeah. Which, I liked them.
Three books?
I don't remember now.
I think there's four movies because they split that last movie.
Oh, you might be right.
Yeah. Which now they tend to do.
No, wait. Twilight, New Moon, Twilight Eclipse, and Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Okay.
So I think there's four.
Four novels. And then 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. So you enjoy them. And were they more adult-like? Were they more mature in the books and then they kind of made it more for like tweens in the movies, or I don't know.
It was still, they were kid books.
Okay.
Like, they're easy books to get through. Mm. You can read them in like a week. Even I can read them in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, that's how easy they were. But they were just more in, the books are just more interesting. I don't know. It just wasn't good. I think it had nothing to do with the book itself. I think it had to do with the director.
Really?
Who did it. Yeah. I think it had to, and
the casting, maybe?
And maybe the casting. Yeah. Although, Robert Pattinson's not a bad actor.
No. I've seen him do some good stuff.
Yeah. And Kristen Stewart is like, she just needs the right director.
Yes, I agree.
So that's kind of how I feel about that.
I've seen Kristen Stewart do good work.
Yeah.
Which is weird because
she doesn't seem like she has any emotion at all. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, she was amazing in Panic Room when she was younger.
Oh yeah.
Here's my problem with Twilight is that automatically it took me out because this vampire is 200 years old. And he's trying to hook up with a high school chick. That freaked me out. Like, this guy's the biggest pedophile.
Like, yeah, that's weird to think about.
Like, yet everyone I talked to, it was like, oh, you can't see it that way. How the fuck am I supposed to see it? So, don't forget that he's 200. Let's just say he's 30. 30 and like 16 is still fucking kind of weird, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so anyway, that, I and couldn't get
he,
past that.
And then, like, when they finally do it for the first time, he, like, really hurts her. And that's, like, really awkward. And you're like, what am I reading right now? A rape? Is he raping her? Oh, like, I don't understand what this is. How is this a kid's book? And then there's also the parts about the wolves where they, like, what's it called? Where they imprint? Yeah. And that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff in the books itself. Mm. And then trying to put that into the movie.
And into context of, yeah, like a tween movie, that's pretty fucking
made
hard.
Made it really hard.
Yeah. This was definitely like not for me. And here's the thing is that there's a lot of movies that are young adult novel adaptations, and I don't mind watching them, even if they're bad. I don't mind. Like, it's like, hey, I get it. You guys fucking tried, and it's hard to adapt anything, period. You know, like, any book, it's hard to adapt.
Yeah.
Like, even The Martian, it was kind of cut and paste easy, but what he did in, like, pacing and the way he told a story, if you read the book, it's kind of like a diary, you know? And to make that visually appealing is a task, you know? So I get that it's difficult, but I did not enjoy fucking Twilight. And you know what? I like Catherine Hardwick. She directed the first one. I don't think she did the sequels. But she did, I think, 13. I think she did Dogtown and D-Boys, the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I dug her directing. Actually, when they announced her, I was excited about this movie
because
I didn't know anything about the book. Yeah. I was like, oh, this girl is like really good director, female director, and I can't. She was like kind of like almost in the same realm as Kathryn Bigelow, where I was like, oh, this is a kick-ass director. And then after this, I lost respect for her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is then, because if she's so good elsewhere, maybe it was just not a good fit with her and the actors.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, but it was just weird. I actually think I did see the second one, New Moon, and I don't even remember it. That's how bad it was. Because that one has where they go, I think they actually go to Italy in the second one, and I want to say it has, does it have some famous guy, not Tom Hiddleston, but some guy that's like him. Michael Sheen. I always get Tom Hiddleston.
Oh.
They kind of look alike. Not really, yeah, but yeah, like yeah. Back then when I first saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got Michael Sheen in it and as one of the like older vampires that lives in Italy.
Oh, okay.
I think. Or something like that.
Like he's like one of the head vampires.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Something like that. And so that was cool because I like Michael Sheen.
Yeah, yeah.
As an actor. But
which is weird that
it still wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Catherine Hardwick did Lords of Dogtown based on a documentary. The Z Boys documentary. But then like she did 13 Lords of Dogtown. Then she went off the rails with Twilight, and then she did the movie Red Riding Hood. With the girl with the bug eyes. Amanda. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know what happened to her. I think she was one of the girls who, female directors that was up for Wonder Woman.
Oh. But,
yeah. I think she got fired, I think.
Oh, okay.
She got fired off of this or one of the Marvel movies. I can't remember. But, yeah.
Oh, well.
So, anyway. All right. So, we'll talk about a good one.
Yeah.
Let's just get out of the way. Harry Potter.
Okay.
You would say, have you read all the books?
Nope.
None of the books.
I've read the last two books.
Just because you couldn't
somebody
wait for the
spoiled
movie.
That Dumbledore dies for me. And so I didn't want anybody else to spoil anything else for the movies for me. So I was like, I'm reading the last two books before they come out as movies.
I've never read any of the books. And the movies, like I've said before, like, these are movies that I don't mind going to see. And I saw every one of them. I saw each sequel that came out. They're not my favorite. Like, I'm not like, shit, yeah, I can't wait for the new beast of whatever it's called, the new movie.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm interested is because I do like the director. And I am interested in Eddie Redmayne.
Redmayne, yeah.
And the fact that you were talking about how it's now in America.
Yeah.
Like, the magic stuff. That's interesting to see. But it wasn't a movie that I was crazy about. I was always like, oh, okay. And I was, especially in the beginning, I was always interested in the directors they chose. I know the first one was Chris Columbus, who did like Home Alone, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, good, cool. Because I know Spielberg was going to direct the first one, but he wanted Haley Joel Osment. And the producers were like, no, the kid has to be British. Oh, there's no deal. And Spielberg left. But I do enjoy all of them, and they were always fun. But I always thought, like, man, I wish I could just sit down and read the books. I should just do that because I know that the movies are just like an abridged version of the books, right? They don't really change too much. They just kind of pick and choose the scenes they insert in the movie. But I do my favorite one is the time travel one, the one that Alfonso Cuarón directed.
Oh yeah, which one is that? That's
the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
Prisoner of Azkaban's one of the best ones for sure.
Which is two? No, three. Three because no, Sorcerer's Stone,
Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, and then
Prisoner
of Azkaban. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the third one's my favorite, and I was really excited about that one. I was really because they were like teenagers, and I was like, okay, now I kind of they're
and
a little
it's
bit more
really
more
interesting
grown
plot.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the time travel worked for me and the fact that it was one of my favorite directors. So
that's where it starts getting really good. And you meet Sirius Black.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
and
one of my favorite characters.
I still feel like that movie was the most mature movie out of the whole movie. Like, meaning, like, it was the most grown up. Like,
oh, okay.
The context of it and also, like, the tone of the movie. Like, it was just very darker.
I kind of feel like each year it was getting more and more darker. Though.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like it just kept getting darker.
Yeah.
I really need to rewatch. I saw Half-Blood Prince a lot, and I really like Half-Blood Prince. But Deathly Hallows, I've only seen both of those once, and it was in the theater. So I actually really need to rewatch Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2, because I might have seen Deathly Hallows Part 1 a second time right before we saw Part 2.
Mm.
So I think, yeah. So I must have seen that one twice. But still, I think I need to... I'd like to rewatch the entire series again. Just yeah. As like one whole thing.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Because I think it'd be interesting. I think I've watched them all separately. And I like them all separately, but it'd be interesting to see them as one continuous thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story of I think it's a special features or in an interview, supplemental interview in the DVD for Prisoner of Azkaban. Because Alfonso Cuarón, the director of Prisoner of Azkaban, was coming in to the third one already, you know? So he was like, I'm coming into this group of people who've already kind of bonded, you know, and who know their characters really well. So he asked the three leads, you know, Daniel Radcliffe,
Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
Emma Watson
and Rupert
Grint. Yeah. That's right.
he asked all three of them to write an essay, a one page essay about their character and who they were as the character, you know? And of course, like Daniel Radcliffe turned in with a one-page essay, just what the director had asked for, you know, one page, and it was simple and to the point. And Emma Watson turned in a 10-page essay, explaining her character, and he's like, oh, okay, and then Rupert Grint never turned his in.
Yeah.
So I love that story. It tells you so much about like.
Yeah.
Like them that just getting their fucking characters and getting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how
the right people.
How well that was cast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we love Harry Potter. We like it. Another bad one. I don't know if you saw this one. It was called I Am Number 5, I think it was called.
Oh, no. 4.
I Am Number 4. I apologize. I Am Number 4.
But I did not
missed see it by
it.
One number. But this, again. Every time a young adult, one of these movies comes out, I'm always like, oh, okay, I never read the book, but now I'm interested because it seems interesting. And also, they weren't, these movies like in the 80s, even though some of these books are really old, like what we'll eventually talk about, Ender's Game and stuff, books that had been written, you know, in the 70s and stuff. The 80s weren't coming out with those young adult adaptations. It was more, you know, there was more like, are action movies and stuff and or dramas than there were like movies that were marketed towards like teenagers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that concept. It's interesting. It's an interesting market too. So every movie that comes out like that, I'm always interested in seeing at least what it's based off of or, you know, the book. But I'm Number 4, based off a book, directed by DJ Caruso, who I enjoy his work as well. He did Disturbia. He did Eagle Eye, Taking Lives, and one of my favorite movies that he directed is The Salt and Sea. I don't know if you've seen that
with
Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
It's about the Salt and Sea. It's about meth addicts.
Oh,
yeah, and it's really good, about a meth addict played by Val Kilmer. Who you get to see his story of how he got into this, you know, how he got addicted and all this stuff. And it's a pretty interesting movie. But I always liked this director, so I was like, cool, he's involved. I'm in. I'm going to go see I'm Number 4. And this movie was not good. And it wasn't bad. It just never hit its strides. And it was an interesting concept about, you know, these aliens that were connected, aliens that there were humanoid form, but that were connected, and eventually they would build like this group to like save the planet and stuff. And it was a really cool concept, and it was an interesting cast. And everyone was talking about Alex Pettifer. He was going to be the next, you know, big thing. He was going to be the next.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Pattinson. Sorry. And yeah. And from the get go, you started hearing bad things. Like, you started hearing that they were having like problems on set with Alex Pettifer, and because I guess he was dating the lead girl, Diana Agron.
Oh, really?
And there was a lot of tiffs on set, and like Timothy Oliphant, I think, came in to replace somebody else who was in it, and Alex Pettifer got upset because he had already bonded with the other dude. And but nonetheless, I still went to go see it, but it just didn't gel. It didn't work. I don't know if it was the script or it just stuff they cut out of the movie, but it just never hit. But there was some interesting concept, and the effects were great. The powers that they had, quote unquote, the bad aliens that were chasing them were really good. One of them was played by Kevin Durant of Lost. He played Kimmy in Lost. He was really good as one of the main villains in this. And there was a lot of interesting, cool things about it, but it never like gelled together. So just didn't work for me. So that's I'm number four. And that was supposed to be another franchise that was going to be launched.
Do a bunch.
That. Yeah, because there was at least like 3-4 novels.
Oh,
so
wow.
It just didn't get off the floor. All right. We'll talk about another one we love. I've seen the first one out of the series. You, I believe, haven't seen the sequel. But let's talk about it. The Maze Runner.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a movie that it looked interesting. It looked cool because of the mazes and stuff. So it's one of the movies that I actually went to the theaters to see. And I was surprised. I really enjoyed it. You waited to DVD. I think mm-hmm. I gave you a copy or something. And did you like it?
Yeah, we liked it. I haven't read that book, but
I haven't either.
I liked the first movie a
yeah.
lot. I thought it was good.
And it had a like good cast, and mm-hmm. it was a combination of people that you knew and people that were new.
Mm-hmm.
So like the girl in it was from like Skins, the British version of Skins.
Oh, okay.
I had never seen Dan O'Brien, who was the lead in it. And I think the one of the kids, he was in like We're the Millers, right?
Oh,
Will yeah. Poulter, mm-hmm. yeah, who's an awesome actor. And yeah, so when this came out, I just kind of blind bought tickets, and I really enjoyed it. There was some cool action sequences. First time director, and he did a great job. I'm curious to see what he'll do when he gets out of this series and does his own stuff. I saw a short film that he did that kind of got him this movie. He did an animated movie. And it was really well done. I think it's called Ruins. It's like a futuristic post-apocalyptic thing, and that's what got him this job. And great director, great writing, and it just worked. It was really kinetic. It really just kept going, and I really enjoyed it. But then you haven't seen the sequel.
No, I haven't.
I have. It was good. It was well directed again, and it kept going, meaning like they're running the whole time. They're trying to get away. But it felt like story-wise, it didn't go any further. Like, you know, and I try not to spoil the first one, but you know how, like, they answer some questions,
mm-hmm.
but not all the questions that you want answered, and you want to know what, like, those bugs are about or who put them there, you know?
Oh, sure,
and,
yeah.
And they answer some questions, but really not enough to be like, oh, okay, usually a good sequel will, like, answer some of your questions that you needed to be answered, but ask new ones. And this one, I feel like, didn't really answer any questions. It just asked more fucking questions.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't hate it, but I'm like, man, the next one better be like badass or, you know. And from what I hear about it, the second book was kind of slow. So, there's a big, I guess, the big action stuff happens in the third one. So hopefully.
Right.
It's a series that we actually like, and it's fun. Check it out if you haven't seen it, The Maze Runner. I think now they're both this one and the sequel are playing on HBO Go, if you have that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Oh, shoot. I don't have it anymore.
You're like, oh, I'll watch that one.
I know.
Damn it. What's another one? Oh, let's talk about this one because we both actually read the book right before the movie came out, and I was really disappointed. Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah. I did the same thing. I read the book right before the movie came out.
Because everyone kept... I think your boyfriend was talking about like how it was one of his favorite books.
I mean, the book was, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll read it. And then I think Kevin was like, oh, yeah, it's one of my favorite books. Check it out. Read it. And so I read it, and I fucking love the book.
Yeah. I love one and two.
Yeah. I didn't read the sequel.
Well, I read the second sequel. There's two different timelines, and I read the second timeline that they came out with, I guess.
Okay.
It's the same story. Mm-hmm. The second book is the same story, but it's in Bean's perspective.
Okay.
And so it was really interesting.
Oh,
that's why I like, because I like Bean more than Ender, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you do after this book, I guess.
okay. Yeah.
But in the movie, see, that was the thing that I didn't like about the movie was Bean's character. I didn't like how they portrayed Bean in the movie at all.
I don't even remember who played him. That's how bad this movie was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is like a really big character.
Yeah.
And if you do a sequel, you could do that book, which is the good timeline from what everyone says, apparently.
Technically, I guess they could have even done the sequel while they were doing this movie, you know? Just
get
the different shot.
It's just
instead of
or if anything, just like combine the two books.
Yeah.
Or something. But they didn't do anything with Bean at all, I thought. I didn't think it was very good.
I'm going to blame Gavin Hood.
Yeah.
The director and the writer. He wrote this as well.
God, this guy, the ending, I feel like when I read the ending in the book, it just was so much different than what I saw in the movie. I don't want to spoil anything or anything, but it just like felt different. Like it didn't feel as
yes
exciting as it did in the book.
When I read the book at the end, I kind of got emotional.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm not the first ending. I'm talking about the second ending. The ending of the book. The very ending.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. When I read it, I got a little emotional. Like, oh, man, like, I wasn't expecting this. Like, the first ending that I got, the twist ending, was like, oh, I kind of expected that to hit me, you know, that to be the ending of it. But then when it kept going, I was like, oh, this is interesting. There's another ending, I guess. And that ending I fucking really, really loved. And I read some of the notes on the book and stuff, and apparently the author meant for that to be the main story. Just that last like 20 pages, 10, 20
yeah.
pages.
Yeah. Well, that's where the first sequel part goes with that.
Oh, okay, okay.
In mind. Because
I'd like to read that book.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you would like that that part better than I did. Than
you,
I would have.
You didn't like it?
I didn't read that that sequel.
Okay.
That timeline. But that's like where some of it goes, I think.
Yeah. Because
it goes into the future. Like the first timeline goes like into the future some.
Yeah.
But it uses that part of it.
Oh, okay.
Like
okay.
The egg thing.
Oh, okay,
is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, thing? Yes, okay. Yes. 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 So
it includes that as yeah or something.
Yeah,
like
we're trying to be very big so we don't spoil anything.
Sorry.
If you want to read it.
So it's really awkward
yeah,
conversation.
Yeah, like so that's what interests me. Like that after I read the whole book, I was like, fuck, this was the whole like this is my jam. This yeah. last 20 pages are my jam. I want to know more. And when the movie came out, I was like, oh man, how are they going to do this? Like
if, yeah, the
I'm like
last part.
The whole movie could suck as long as it gets the ending right. And
it just was a disappointment.
Yeah. And I want to lay it all on Gavin Hood. He's a mediocre writer and worst director. He's a dude who did X-Men Origins, Wolverine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's because he's foreign or not, but something got lost in translation. And it wasn't for me.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling they're not going to do any sequels
for
it or anything.
I think, yeah, yeah. And I thought, like, man, Colonel Graf, Harrison Ford,
mm-hmm.
hell yeah. You know, like,
yeah.
Everybody.
It's a great cast.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley.
Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good cast. And all these kid actors that you don't really know, which I love when I use kid actors you don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting.
And,
but
I know people were like hot and cold about Asa Butterfield, but I you know,
I think it's Asia. Hugo. Isn't it pronounced Asia?
Asia Butterfield, whatever. But there's no I.
No, I think it's still that's what it is though.
Okay.
Aja. Something.
Yeah, Aja Butterfield.
Oh, man.
He was decent.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's,
he was good.
He's fine. Yeah.
He was in the problem.
I don't have a problem with him.
Yeah. The problem was the execution of the translation of the book into the movie. It just wasn't adapted properly.
Yeah.
But there's some key moments that I was like, oh my God, like this scene shows you like why Ender becomes Ender. Do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or like what, why they do things to push him a certain way and the psychology of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't addressed very well in this thing. Right.
It wasn't at all.
It was like rushed or even some parts wasn't even like shown. Like
yeah.
The shower scene. Like when, you know, like he has to fight and stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That psychology of that is fucking interesting in the book. And to think about
yeah.
it as like, this is a kid doing this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But in the movie, like it felt like
they
it
just
was
just make it like a story. They
yeah.
don't make it like deep, a
yeah.
deep story.
Yeah.
They just make it like, this is what you're going to see next.
I would love to have seen this as like kind of like Battlefield. Battlestar Galactica, like a show.
Oh,
like
yeah.
just do a mm-hmm. miniseries of the first book
yeah.
and take your time with it. And you get a bunch of kids, tweens who fucking love it and adults who read the book as
have
kids.
Have you watched Expanse on
no,
Sci-Fi?
No,
we finished season one.
It was good?
It was really good.
Really?
Rory's read all the books.
Oh, it's based on a book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought it was just run-of-the-mill sci-fi show.
He really liked the books a lot.
Really?
It's really interesting. Yeah, you should totally watch that.
I'll check it out. On Sci-Fi?
Mm-hmm. Expanse.
But yeah, so Ender's Game, I hope they don't make any sequels, because I don't want to torture my... Because I would have to go see it, because I'd have to go see how bad it is.
I just said that because the Expanse reminds me of Battlestar Galactica. That's why I said that.
I was like, why are we going to Expanse? Yeah. I thought it was more like this.
No, yeah, it reminds me of Battlestar Galactica.
But like that's how I would like this book to have been. You know, miniseries. Not even a whole series. Just gave me like 18 episodes.
I think it needed more time.
Yeah. And for you to kind of get Ender, like get, like feel for him and kind of fall in love with him and stuff. But yeah.
He just kind of seemed like a robot. Robot.
Yeah. And he kind of seemed like bratty at the end. You're like, fucking shit.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't like Ender's Game, so you don't have to run off and see that.
But you should read the book.
yeah, read the book. A movie that I do love. I don't know if you've seen it, but I have. And this might have been made before my time, a couple years before my time, but I got to see it. Let me pull it up and I'll tell you exactly. But anyway, it's based off a young adult, you know, book.
It was made in 83.
Well, really? Well, I was only 2 years old.
Oh, yeah. I always feel like you're the same age as Michelle.
I mean, she still would have been like 6, 7.
No, she wouldn't be that old. 4.
She'd been 4, yeah. So, yeah, she still wouldn't have seen this movie, probably. She wouldn't have got it.
I mean, but you guys are alive, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true, it's true.
I thought you were like, it's before my
but
time.
But I'm just saying, like, my time is like things I saw in theaters. That's
oh,
what, yeah,
I get what
yeah,
you're
sorry.
Saying.
So, yeah, this came out, yeah, when I was really young, but I saw it. I read the book in school, like in junior high, and I saw the movie, like, maybe like a year after that, because I was like, whoa, there's a fucking movie off of this? Hell yeah, I'm going to see it. And I'm talking about The Outsiders. Based off the S.E. Hinton book.
I don't think I read this book.
You didn't read it?
Mm-mm.
That's good. It's really good.
But I liked the movie when I was little.
If you liked the movie, you'll love the book. The book is just more stuff with them and more like the book is told through, you know how in the book you get more expansive stuff like of what characters are thinking and stuff. So it's more of the psychology as well of these dudes. But I loved it. I loved the book. When I first read it, I was like just into it. Like I just like kind of like teen angst. And like, even though I wasn't an orphan, I had my parents, but, I just, for some reason it hit with me. I got it. And I thought the movie was a great adaptation. It wasn't like a literal adaptation, but they kind of just took bits and pieces and kind of made a movie out of it, and I loved it. I love the movie.
Yeah.
It was directed by Francis Ford Coppola, and it starred C. Thomas Howell, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, Patrick Swayze, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez, Tom Cruise. Who else? Leif Garrett is in it. Diane Lane. She's like so young in this. Diane Lane's so young.
They're all so young.
Yeah. Tom Waits is in this. I forgot Tom Waits is in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a really, really solid adaptation in it. Sofia Coppola plays a little girl in it. I forgot about that. Do you have a dime?
So interesting how young they are.
Yeah. And I thought it was really well cast. And then maybe like, I want to say in like the early 2000s, they released a director's cut of The Outsiders, which was all the footage they had taken out. Because this movie is like a lean, like hour and 30 minutes. It's short, you know, but it's good. It's streamlined and it gets to the point and it's awesome. It keeps going. But the director's cut's like 2 hours and they added all the shit that's in the novel, but that's boring stuff in the movie. Meaning like in the novel, you're reading it and you're reading it into characters. And so it's really interesting, but you can't sometimes put that into a movie form do not watch the director's cut. It's horrible. Watch the original version of it. Which is the best version. But have you seen the movie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah. I liked it when I was younger.
And it's interesting to see all these actors acting in this movie that are really young, like Tom Cruise with Emilio Estevez. I love that. I love that teaming up partnership.
Yeah.
And Rob Lowe. And the only good reason to get the special edition is because you get to see all the auditions, all the people that auditioned for this movie, and like the way the process worked. Like, it was kind of like a theater play, like a workshop play. Like, he had actors come in and read with for certain parts, and then he'd have a group of girls and a group of guys, and then they would trade off parts. Like, meaning, like, one girl would read for Cherry Valentine, then another girl, and then different guys would read for the same part. And it was just interesting to see that and how he built that group out of the dynamic of watching them kind of hang out with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It was really interesting. So,
yeah, that's crazy.
That's a good one on the good side. And we'll just do two more and we'll call it a day. Did you see Narnia? Or did you see... What bad series do you want to talk about? To end it off. Or you just want to talk about a good one?
I don't remember what you wrote down.
I wrote Percy Jackson, The Giver, as bad ones. Narnia, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
I saw the first Narnia.
Okay, I did too.
Okay.
I thought it was horrible.
Yeah, I didn't read the book, though, either. Yeah. So I don't know.
I also saw the first Percy Jackson. So I read Narnia. I did read
did
Narnia.
You? Okay.
Yeah, the first book. I enjoyed it.
You liked the book. I know a lot of people that like the book.
Yeah.
And
but the movie was like,
it seemed like it
lackluster.
Didn't. Yeah. It seemed like it just didn't reach what it needed to or add up to the same. I didn't read the book, but it just seemed like everyone was saying how fantastic the book was and how like magical and it just seemed like everyone's imagination could do better than what they did on the actual movie.
I'm gonna say that my problem with this movie is probably, and I think I don't want to assume, but I think the team involved in this was the problem. Meaning, like, I feel like they try to go cheap on it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go cheap on a movie with all these effects.
Yeah.
Like, even though they did, I'm sure they poured a shit ton of money into it. It wasn't enough money. You know, like you look at some of the first Harry Potters. Yeah, I mean, for the time, the effects may look shitty or whatever, but they poured a lot of money into it, you know? Warner Brothers definitely poured a lot of money into it for it to look as good as it could look back then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the magic in it.
Mm-hmm.
They had to make it whimsical.
Believable.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, I just felt like it just wasn't there. And like the effects weren't as cool as it could have been. And
I wasn't impressed.
Yeah. It just didn't impress me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Harry Potter, yeah, whether I loved it or not, I was like, oh, cool. I dig the magic in this, you know? And this, it was not a fantastical, whimsical place.
Yeah, no.
Narnia left me wanting more.
It's a pretty good cast. It's weird that it didn't turn out so well.
Yeah. And all right, the last movie we'll talk about, I don't think we've talked about it. And this could go both on the side of good and bad. I'll go good for the first movie and then we'll talk about the sequels. And I'm talking about The Hunger Games.
Okay.
You read some of the books or all the books?
I read all the books.
Okay. I didn't read any of them. So, you love the books?
Yes. How many are there again? Three? There's three books.
Three.
I like the second one the best.
Okay.
And the first one is good. The last one starts off really well and then kind of loses you, I think, in the end. But, I kind of felt a little like I liked the first movie, but I kind of felt a little disappointed with the first movie
mm-hmm.
compared to the book. The second movie I thought was really good.
Yes.
And I really liked that book. So I was really happy that one turned out so well. And I think it really helped their audience like come back into it because everyone was like, oh, it's going to be another one of those young adult adaptations that nobody understands how to make or something. But I think the problem with the first one really was that is it PG?
The first one is PG-13. They're all PG-13, actually.
I still think like it just needed to be
a little more
like it just wasn't they couldn't show anything.
Yeah, they couldn't show any of the deaths really.
And like I
meaning
mean,
as I'm sure the book is more graphic, right?
It is. And I get it. I mean, it's a kids movie.
Yeah, and you want
kids to be able to go see it.
Yeah.
And like kids need to be able to look up to Katniss and all that stuff. But just what this book is is a little bit more dirty than, you know, like down and dirty. Like it's a little bit more hardcore than they show it in the movie.
You know what? I read the beginning of the first book, and then I saw the movie, and I was like, I'm not gonna read them because I'm sure I'll like the books more than I will like the movies. And so the first movie. Okay, let's talk about the first movie. I enjoyed the first movie, even though it was really the violence of it was very muted. There was a lot of comparisons made to Battle Royale, of course. And I do wish it could have been a little bit more adult, young adult than more kids. You know what I mean? Like it was.
Yeah.
I felt like they aimed really low.
Did they, I know? Like, were they on the low side of PG-13?
Because
I feel like you could have done more in PG-13.
Look.
Than what they did.
I think. Fucking I don't think. I know for a fact. James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Is PG-13.
Yeah,
they're not
I just feel like they could have had more.
If James Bond, they show him killing a bunch of people, sleeping with all the ladies.
Yeah,
they can show a little bit more graphic violence with Hunger Games. But
yeah,
besides that, the first one was directed by Gary Ross, who directed Seabiscuit. He directed Pleasantville. I was really like, this was my jam. I was like, yes, I'm always looking forward to his next movie, and I'm excited about this, and it. Now with what I know and what I've hear people talking about, yeah, I do agree. Like it needs to be a little bit more violent.
It was kind of just a little disappointing, I think, compared to the book. Like I felt like the book really drew you in, and I feel like the movie doesn't really do that. It doesn't really make me feel like I need to see what happens next.
Yeah. Well, here I'll tell you my perspective as a person who didn't read the book.
Mm-hmm.
I read the beginning of it, and then I was like, okay, I'll go see the movie, and. What I got out of it was like, I'm interested enough to go see the sequel. That's the first thing that came up because I have more questions about how did we get here? How did the society get here? Which all are questions that never get answered.
No, yeah.
They never tell you like, this is what happened that led to here, you know? It kind of a little bit, but I heard it's more in the books. They talk about more of the politics of it.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what kind of what got me. And
I think they think that part would be boring to kids.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. But me, maybe. the positive of it were really intriguing.
Right. We're all like, we want to know.
Yeah. I want to know how the geopolitical system was at the time. This happened. I agree. The part two, they got a new director. It's Francis Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He directed, Constantine, the movie he directed.
And
he came in and he kicked ass.
Much better.
Yeah, it was
a little bit more hardcore. It seemed
more
like.
Actiony.
Yeah,
more actiony. A little bit more violent.
Mm-hmm.
And the main actors were a little bit more grown up, I think.
Then
you were like,
they knew what they were getting into at that point. The third one
was the one that split in two, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the first half, everyone kind of knew what was going to happen. It's boring.
Yeah. That's the problem when splitting up movies in two.
Because that's the first half of the book, and so the big stuff happens at the end. And everyone knew that going into it, it was going to end up being a boring movie.
Yeah.
But
nonetheless, there was some good acting with like Philip Seymour Hoffman scenes are like amazing.
Yes.
And Julianne Moore's stuff. Yeah, she's in it, right? Julianne Moore? Yes.
Yes.
She's awesome in it. All the stuff, you know, with the whole mind game, it's cool, but nothing really happens. Meaning all these movies, these first two movies, even though the first one's not action packed, they're go, 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 go. These people surviving. And then part three is like, there's kind of a little battle, but not really, you know? Like, it leaves you wanting more. And then I didn't see the last one, so I can't vouch
for that. So what I ended up doing, because everyone was telling me how awful part one was and how boring it was, I made myself wait to watch part one until right before I was seeing, like the day before I was seeing part two.
Smart.
And so it made me not hate part one because I was fulfilled the very next day seeing part two. So it worked out really well for me.
You didn't have to wait a whole year to see.
No.
Yeah.
And so I was fulfilled, and so I was fine. Part two, I thought it was fine for how they did it. I mean, that it worked for the book. I really like all the part of, oh, you haven't seen it yet and you haven't read it, so
I don't give a shit.
They are like running around in the Capitol, like her and a group of some of the other Mockingjay people, and so they're trying to, pretty much the gamekeepers have like set up traps in the Capitol now for them, because they're trying, they can tell that Katniss is trying to get to President Snow. And so they're trying to like evade all these traps, which is really interesting because it's just like you're back in the Hunger Games, but you're with like all your favorite characters now.
And the city. So,
and yeah, a and a scope. Really cool looking like city where it's like millions of dollars have been put into this city. So it looks really neat and like really pretty. And so that part was really cool. And I wish we, that's like one of my favorite parts of the third book, actually. And I wish we had seen more of the Capitol. I think if we had done more Capitol game stuff, then I think it would have been an even better movie.
Okay.
But I mean, it worked. I thought the last one was good. It's as good as it can be, because I didn't really, the book is kind of, ends kind of on a weird note. So it's like.
I gotta see it now. Because I do like, that's what I like about the second one especially, like the things they have to face, you know, like the bugs or like the,
yeah, all those the stuff. Are all the traps are so interesting.
Yeah, all the traps are interesting.
But I can't blame the last movie, because the book, they went with the book. You can't change the book's ending.
The book isn't.
Yeah.
If the book's weird, the movie's gonna end weird. Yeah.
So. But they worked with it well, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it falls again on both sides as good and bad. There's some good things and some bad things. But overall, I guess it's a series that you would own, right? You own that? Or no?
I think I just have the first one, actually. I need to get that.
I think we don't have the first one.
I just haven't had a chance to buy them.
But yeah. So anyway, that kind of concludes our list. There's so many other ones to talk about, but... maybe we'll get some of the dudes to come in and put their 10 cents in and maybe think of some that are like from the 80s and 70s that I'm not thinking about. That's the only one I could think about. That was really, really young adult. Yeah, there's other book adaptations, but they're not specifically young adult like The Outsiders was and these movies in this list. But movies that we didn't talk about that were bad were like The Giver, Percy Jackson, the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
I read all those books.
The Sisterhood?
Yeah.
And you really enjoy them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked them. I read enough for me to read like three of them.
Really?
Are there three?
I think there's three.
I think I read all of them.
You know, a movie that...
But I didn't care for the movie.
Another series that kind of bombed, but was promising like... that it was going to be like the next big thing as well is
Mortal Instruments, Divergent.
Yeah,
both of those.
Yeah, well, which one's more? Oh yeah, Mortal Instruments only had one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now I think it's a series called like Shadowwalkers or something.
Oh yeah, on TV.
On TV. Mm-hmm. No. Well, of course, yeah. Like you said, it was the one you mentioned.
Divergent.
I just can't get into that.
I haven't watched it yet.
I watched a little bit of the first one on a flight. And I just couldn't get into it. I'm like, oh.
It sounds like a really cool concept, though.
It does. It sounds like a really cool concept, but then in watching it, I just couldn't sit through it. I'm like, you know what? This is not for me. It wasn't like The Maze Runner where I was like, okay, it got me.
Action-packed,
yeah. It was a little slow for me. So maybe I'll give it a chance, especially now this is the last movie of the series that came out.
I don't have any idea.
I think so. I hope so.
There are a lot of them, I think, so maybe.
Another movie that... that series that was supposed to launch a bunch of movies was Beautiful Creatures. Do you remember that? It was about the witches.
No.
It was with like Emmy Rossum and Emma Thompson, Jeremy Irons. It was like a covenant of like different witches. Here it is. And like she played like Emmy Rossum played like the bitch witch.
Oh.
Yeah, this was supposed to like launch this, and it was like set in like New Orleans and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
And
what year was this?
This was 2013.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember. Huh.
And this was supposed to launch this like franchise, they were like showing it as like the next like dark franchise, you know, like, and it just didn't go nowhere. I didn't see the movie, but it just it failed. But I'm curious to see the movie because it's an interesting cast. Look at the cast. Jeremy Irons is in it.
Yeah, it is.
So I may check that out just to see how bad it is. All right. As always, you could follow the podcast at The Film Podcast on Twitter and I think Instagram. We have Instagram on there. I think. We'll try to be better about posting stuff like that, especially we're going to have another podcast join like our network eventually, maybe like in a month or two, which is a podcast where we discuss movie trailers. That's it. We pick like 3-4 movie trailers and that's what's discussed. I'm not the head of that podcast. It's my friend Sean McHugh. But that's called The Coming Soon Cast. And it'll eventually be like on our website at popcoldbinge.com. You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS.
I'm at Jhenaigh, JHENEIGH.
Yeah. So till next time, hey guys, have a good week.